One day, on the day after Jesus' death, it looked as if whatever small mark he left on the world would rapidly disappear. Instead, his impact on human history has been unparalleled. After his disappearance from earth, the days of his unusual influence began. That influence is what this book is about. Rightly seen, this effect on past and current history will cause any thoughtful person, apart from their religious ideas about Christianity, to ask, who was this man? You can miss him in the historical list for many reasons, perhaps the most obvious being the way he lived his life. Jesus did not loudly and demonstratively defend his movement in the spirit of a rising political or military leader. He did not lay out a case that history would judge his brand of belief superior in all future books. He did not start by telling his disciples, "Here are my proofs of my divinity. Affirm them, and I will accept you." Normally, when someone dies, their impact on the world immediately begins to recede. As I write this, our world marks the passing of digital innovator Steve Jobs. Someone wrote that 10 years ago, the world had Bob Hope, Johnny Cash, and Steve Jobs. Now we have no Jobs, no Cash, and no Hope. But Jesus inverted the normal human trajectory, as he did so many others. Jesus' impact was greater 100 years after his death than during his life. It was greater still after 500 years, and after 1,000 years, his legacy laid the foundation for much of Europe. After 2,000 years, he has more followers in more places than ever. If someone's legacy will outlast their life, it's usually apparent when they die. On the day when Alexander the Great or Caesar Augustus or Napoleon or Socrates or Muhammad died, their reputations were immense. When Jesus died, his tiny failed movement appeared clearly at an end. If there were a kind of most likely to posthumously succeed award given on that day of death to history's most influential people, Jesus would have come in dead last. His life and teaching simply drew people to follow him. He made history by starting in a humble place, in a spirit of love and acceptance, and allowing each person space to respond. He deliberately placed himself on a collision course with Rome, and when he would have crushed, where he would have been crushed like a gnat, and he was crushed. And yet, Jesus' vision of life continues to haunt and challenge humanity. His influence has swept over history like the tail of a comet, bringing his inspiration to influence art, science, government, medicine, education. He has taught humans about dignity, compassion, forgiveness, and hope. Since the day he did come, as G.K. Chesterton put it, it has never been quite enough to say that God is in heaven and all is right with the world, since the rumor is that God has left heaven and set it aright. That's a taste of what he's saying about who is this man. And as I read the book, it just, there's so many things. I know some of us really like to dig into history, and others of us say, I'm not into that. Turn it on. On. And us are not as, philosophy and psychology and all that stuff. It just seems like, well, I'm more practical than that. But the reality is that many of the things that you believe and take for granted in the culture that we live in, the good things, I can find you a scripture and the influence of the Word of God, as Simeon's saying, on our culture and on each one of us individually. So with that in mind, I wanted to ask this morning, was someone gave you an opportunity, Max? Right out the chute, Lieutenant Max Jones, come up here. You've gotten taller since you moved.
I just wanted to share, last year at this time, we faced a lot of uncertainty in our family. My wife was facing a major surgery coming up. My daughter-in-law was pregnant. So a lot of prayer going around, and God is faithful. Last January, she went through two major surgeries back-to-back. She lost a lot of blood, like almost 50 units. And she's here today, healthy. We just had some blood work come back. It's been negative. We're still waiting some results from an MRI, but so God is good, as Mike would say all the time. But you know, more than that, we've been able to use our situations to bless others. We were able to share at our church. We have a church body up in Washington that we visit, and we were able to share both our testimonies this past summer to encourage that body. And so God's used our situation to bless others throughout this trial. And one of my wife's prayers, I remember, was she wanted to see her second granddaughter being born. She was born in March, so we're just blessed to have two grandkids now. And you know, God just continues to meet us wherever we're at. And I wanted to read one of our verses that basically sustains us, or my wife's favorite verse, and it's James 5. I can get it up here. I think it's on here. Here it is. Think of how we regard, let me read this again. Think of how we regard as blessed those who have endured. You have heard of Job's endurance, and you have seen the Lord's purpose, that the Lord is full of compassion and mercy. So that's one of our verses that sustains us all the time. And, you know, I just thank you for your prayers in this body, because, again, you know, that's what sustains us and encourages us throughout those low valleys and then their high valleys. And so we just thank the body for that. Amen. Thank you.
Thing is, too, it's been a 10-year trial, what he just talked about, and it's amazing, God's faithfulness, and then how, okay, come on up, Susan, you got to say it. Here's the...
I'll just continue on to that. So I got my miracle, more than one, but that was amazing what I went through. And beyond that, like Max said, he answered prayer to give me extended life and to see my first grandchild born. And it's been a real blessing through this past season. But more so than that, I asked after that situation where God wants me to be. Why did he leave me here? I really want that answer. I want to know where he wants me to be. And that prayer was going on, and a lot of you know this, but as we went back to Washington, I was buying seedlings at a nursery, and as I was waiting in line to pay for it, a lady came up to me and approached me and said, I kind of heard your conversation with somebody else, excuse me for barging in, but I have this program that's going on, and I thought maybe you might be interested in it. And so she said, we are part of the food bank, and we're looking for small growers who would donate fresh food to our organization for people who are hungry and people who are sick. And then she used the word cancer. And I said, I'm there. Tell me about it. And so I looked into it, and she told me, all you have to remember is if you can grow one extra row with whatever you plant, it can help give to us and those people. And so that was my goal. And as I was doing that, God was really blessing it. I was just learning and doing what I knew. It actually happened. I've mastered some things in gardening at the Braze House a couple of years back, and just getting help from the local family growers. But I was outdoing the local people. So it wasn't, I know it wasn't me. God was totally blessing that for a purpose. And it turned out I was able to give a large amount every week through the whole time I was there. And then even with that, when I was up here during the summer visiting you guys, I got phone calls, or I was asked before I left if they can take from the garden, the people who really needed the food from the little church there or whoever. And anyways, that totally blessed me, because I did not know that God was going to use what I love to do, what totally excites me, what I think about food and growing food, planting food, and he was going to use that to bless his people. So, and other than that, the blessing for me too is God used Max in amazing ways while we were there, through how he's moved him, and God used me in different ways through my health and other ways of nutrition stuff to help other people too. So I was really thankful for that. So I don't know what he's doing here. I already asked Kevin, okay, what do I do here now? So
start planning.
Yeah. So, but God has brought things. I asked him that. God has been supplementing things that I really am enjoying to be part of. And so I think I'm just following by the Holy Spirit and enjoying the rest, enjoying all of you, and enjoying just being back. Thank you.
Thanks, Steve. Tom? Got an engineer here.
share with you real quickly the last 3 years of my adventure, our adventure, my wife and I, had a problem with the leg and laying on a gurney, waiting for surgery, not knowing what would happen, and the peace and love just flowed over me, and I had never felt that before. My wife came in and she said, "Do you know that there's hundreds of people praying for you?" And I knew that's what the Holy Spirit was. He came over me, and I felt safe, comfortable, and knew that things were going to be fine. And that was this community. That's what this community did. Brought that Holy Spirit down on me, and I just want to thank you so much, so much. They couldn't fix it at the time, but it couldn't have been fixed at the time. I realize that now, but it is fixed now. Thank you so much. And I'd like to say that the worship service here is stellar. The depth of talent that you have in this community, it just overwhelms me every week. Tony's here taking care of business while Emmy's in pain over there. Just goes on and on. Thank you so much for this community. Thank you, Lord, for your faithfulness.
Amen. Peter. And Hannah.
So God works miracles. last year in January, I was done. I was ready to leave him. I was depressed, ended up in the hospital. And now I am full of joy. I'm dancing in every worship service. I have a beautiful baby girl. And that's just what happened in my life. But our life together has changed so much. And that's what he's going to share.
I was just going to share, yeah, we started out this year in I had a lot of uncertainty at work. She was very depressed. I had just closed out, you know, to protect myself from that. And realizing that we're very control freaks. and so a lot of that is built on our fear, you know, of the world and of losing control and stuff like that. And through this year, God has really he's been working on that in us, definitely. But this year, he just really went after it. And he just really took control of our lives and has asked us to give up control, to give up fear, to give up those things. And so we've been doing that slowly, you know, in some ways, not slowly, but he's been very generous in reciprocating mm-hmm. that. He's been able to show. I mean, I'm sorry, I'm freaking out a little bit just because I'm so afraid to get up here most of the time, and right now I feel really calm. So, so he's just been doing some really amazing things. It's really hard for us to express them because they've been so intimate and so personal to us. But he's been doing those things just in amazing ways, and so we're excited to see how that kind of flows out of us into this community. And we do want to thank, there's been a lot of people in this community that have really blessed us during this time. I know we're not the most public about the things that we go through, but there's just been some amazing people that have really taken very good care of us during this time. So thank you.
Eric. You have twins?
I do.
And two others?
Yes.
Yeah, I don't get up here very often, but I just kind of sense there's a little bit of a theme going on here, so I'll just kind of continue in that. I think sometimes we take for granted that everybody knows everything that's going on in our life because we share certain things with certain people. But I just wanted to kind of share just really quickly a little bit of our journey this last year for those of you that may not be as aware. We had a pretty challenging year, to say the least. Our son Ryan broke his leg back in June, I think it was, on a camping trip and was in a spica cast for 7 weeks, which was a real challenging time, and has been going through rehabilitation since that time. But I wanted to kind of use this opportunity, first of all, just to say thank you to all of you in this body, in this community, for the ways that you stepped up and helped us through that time. People coming to the hospital, visiting us, and since then. And it's amazing to me just how God places the right people with the right experiences, and you know, we don't always know why we go through things until we see the ways that we can help each other out. And that was just so apparent and evident to us, I think, through this last year. Just people, you know, like Mike and Aaron being able to share things through their struggles, and other people who just kind of stepped up and encouraged us and gave us guidance. A lot of you probably don't know this, but we had a really scary experience happen with social services coming to our house after that event occurred. And then a few weeks, actually right after Ryan got his cast off, we had another accident occur where we were at a friend's house and he was barefoot in a really hot sandbox and burned the bottom of his feet. Ended up back in the ER, and because of those two experiences, we had social services come out to our house and had a very overly pursuant social worker that got us in a very fearful situation. And you know, my wife immediately reached out to the Dacuses for some advice on that, and they were able to really give us some guidance on how to handle that situation. And really amazing just having their experience and how to deal with those situations, and something we couldn't have possibly found outside of this community or outside of God just placing, you know, them in our church body and giving us the guidance of the Holy Spirit to reach out to them in that time. So, and I could just go on and on about the different people that were just there at the right time helping us throughout this last year. And for those of you that were there and those of you that prayed and kind of walked with us through that time, I just want to thank you. And that's it. Thank you.
Thank you, Eric. Meg?
Well, there's something I think that maybe none of you know about me, and that is I just love public speaking about as much as Dudley does. So, anyway, I just want to say, first of all, that the Lord has been and is truly the wind in my sails and the fire in my heart ever since John died. And thank you all so much for your prayers, your visits, the meals, the love that you have showered on me and my whole family. I so appreciate it from the bottom of my heart. And that's it. Thank you.
Thank you, Meg. Dave?
New guy here, so my family and I I didn't think I'd be up here this early. My family and I have been here for about 3 or 4 months now, and it's been wonderful. Just a couple big things to share that happened this year. So 2.5 years ago, I was diagnosed with prostate cancer, and it was a tough time. We trusted God, but we needed to lean on people, so we had a lot of people praying for us, even some folks here, Dacuses, Kings, Braves, before we even got to this church. And last year in May, I had my prostate removed. They were unable to get it all. It had escaped the prostate. So I went under radiation this past January through March, and was able to get a clean diagnosis in June. So I'm prostate free, and cancer free. So it's been quite the blessing. But I love how God sort of paves the way because He led us here. The other big thing is that we're here at this church. We were going to a different church for a long time, and it was great. But after a while, it was hard to get the kids to come, and it was hard for us to get up and go and get there. And there's not been one time that we said we don't want to go. It's just been fantastic with kids, too. So glad to meet everyone so far. Look forward to meeting the rest of you, and looking forward to getting off the stage. Thank you.
Sue.
I'm about as, you know, nervous about being on stage as Dudley is. So, I just wanted to thank everybody. I lost my father this summer, and everybody has been so compassionate and caring, and I just thank you for all your prayers and your support. And through his legacy, I've been able to just bless some wonderful people in the church, and I just have been so blessed to be here. It's been a hard year, and I also wanted to say that just a great praise report. Jonathan, my stepson, who moved in with us about 4 years ago, and a lot of you know, but some of you don't know, John is high-functioning Asperger's. And when he moved in with us, he didn't even know how to ride a bus. He had been kind of sheltered in most of his adult life. He, this summer, moved out on his own. He has his own place. He's going to school. And he actually has had an internship, and he just has had this month and next month, he will have 2 articles published under his name in the Orange Coast magazine. So it's just been all the support and the prayers, and we thank you, and that's it.
Madam Mayor, no plaques today.
That was actually the beginning of a really good Christmas, and so I want to thank you for that. I just want to say a couple things, and number one is thank you all that you've, you know, the Joneses and Eric and Simeon and Hannah and Peter and everyone that has shared, and Dave Williams, you're no longer new. Just so you know, you've been, we now consider you having been here since dirt. Okay, so just welcome. Welcome to this part of the body. I read something this morning in my devotional and said, make sure you travel the journey with someone who knows the path. Make sure you travel the journey with someone who knows the path. And that's what I feel like the Lord has blessed me with, is so many of you, Kevin and Dudley, all of the Davenport family. Matt's the one that got me into the city council, so it's all his fault. The Johnsons, Mary has been like a second mother to me. The Lazeskis, the Congelers, everybody. And I feel like God has given me people who have traveled the path. They know the path. And I want to share just a couple things about being on the city council. My year as mayor coming to an end. I still will be on the council for those of you that don't understand how this works. We can talk about that later. The Lord has, when I went and talked to Kevin before making the decision whether to go ahead and run for city council, he asked me a question. He said, well, why do you want to run? I go, I don't. He said, well, why are you running? I said, because Matt told me I have to, right? And so he began a process, Kevin began a process taking me to a place in God that I just so appreciate. And I've shared this with many people. You have no idea how popular you are, and notorious in some cases, about how the advice that he gave me. And he said, Rhonda, you are going to need to want to do this, because if you don't want to do this, if you get elected, you will feel as if your life is being taken from you. Well, I have never been told that you have to want to do what God wants you to do. And as a good Catholic who does things out of guilt and responsibility and obligation, I was willing to be obedient and to do what God wanted me to do. And Kevin knew that about me. He said, I know that you will do this. If God wants you to do it, you'll do it. And so that night I went home, Kevin, and then he pulled out John Wooden's Pyramid of Success and said, when Wooden first wrote it, he put there a building block that said, being willing to sacrifice for the team, and later changed it to desiring to sacrifice for the team. And I have been able to share this so many times in City Hall. It's been amazing. And so God did give me the desire. I woke up the next morning and so on and so forth. But what I really want to get to is there are five questions that as a project manager and any of us that have been in business pretty much ask ourselves. Who, what, where, why, how, and when, okay? And God asked me and gave me the desire to run for city council. The what part was, he said, I want you to extend my kingdom, which is righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. The why is because he wanted me to represent Jesus to whomever I went to, wherever I was, especially in City Hall. And that was a big responsibility. I mean, to know that our purpose in life is to represent Jesus, I don't know about you, but that mantle's heavy. But he tells us how, and he told me how. He gave me a verse out of Micah 6:8, which I love. What, O man, has the Lord shown you, and what is it that he requires of you, but to do justice, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with your God? And it has been through that humility, and believe me, God has very effective ways to keep you humble in politics, among other places. And it has been through relying on him. It has been through prayer. So many of you have prayed for me, which I just so appreciate. And Kevin mentioned on Christmas Eve about being here on Tuesday mornings. Oftentimes on Tuesday mornings, and Peter will attest to this, as will Mary, is I come in after a very long city council meeting, and it's like I really need prayer. It's like a little home group, my own little counseling session. But the where part is what's interesting, because I have had opportunities in City Hall with the leadership to sit there and share things with them that I wouldn't ordinarily share. And God just brings up the opportunity. One discussion I was having with the city manager, and he said something to me, and I said, oh, that's like Haman's gallows. He's Catholic. And he looked at me strange, and I said, have you ever heard of Haman's gallows? He said, no. I said, well, there's a book in the Old Testament called the Book of Esther. And I got to tell him the whole story of the Book of Esther. Thank God we had studied it, right, Suze and Aaron? Yes. And then recently, I was thrust into a position of sharing, giving a speech to 300 people at the Balboa Bay Resort for the Assistance League of Saddleback Valley. Sheriff Hutchins was present, among other people. And the speech that I gave, the end of it, the night before, I really felt like the Lord wanted me to share number 626, which most of you know that. So I ended my speech with asking everybody. Now, there were a few Christians there, I did know that, but not everybody was a Christian. And I said, this is a little bit unorthodox, ladies and gentlemen, but I'd like you to just do this with me. And the speech was all about gratitude and affirming them for all the work that they have done to help people. And there's a list, a very long list. And so I asked them to bow their heads, and then I started. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. And the Lord lift up his countenance and give you peace. And I'm telling you what, the Holy Spirit just fell. And I'm just grateful that I have this body of people that will keep me accountable, because that's the other part of this. And the most important part is that I am kept accountable by you. Because when I'm in City Hall and I have to remember that I have to do justice and love mercy and walk humbly with him, I know that you will keep me accountable. So thank you.
Well, I think for time, we're going to have communion, but thank you, Rhonda. I've been telling Rhonda recent days, she has a gift for names. How many have a tough time remembering names? How many meet somebody, they introduce themselves, and then as soon as they've given the name, you've forgotten the name? And then you turn to your spouse, what's their name? And he says, I don't know what their name is. Hey, buddy, how you doing? Good to see you. And when you, the older you get, you know, it seems like names get harder sometimes. I mean, sometimes I know someone, and I'm going, and the name escapes me. And Rhonda's gift, when we would go to Mexico, 1 year, I think, Paula, where are you, Paula? Paula may have been there, but that year, but there was, I think we had 125 on this compound in Mexico, and probably 30 adults, 30 or 40, and the rest were teens, and it was quite a group. We had them in tents, and so, you know, we did a joint service here, and so it was real packed. Then we get in the cars, and it's about a 4 or 5 hour trip down there. We get there, we unload, we get greeted by the orphanage, go through all this stuff. Then we put up tents, and, you know, and then by then it's nightfall. And then, meanwhile, Rhonda's off in the kitchen fixing the meals, getting ready with her team. And then in the morning, we have the first devotion. And every year it became tradition that Rhonda would go around the room and name everybody's first name in the room. So there's 125 people there, roughly, maybe 100 in the room. Max had already gone out and started working. But and Rhonda would just do that. And so I got to go to some of the events, National Day of Prayer and some other things, and watched Rhonda with that gift. She would rattle off 25, 35 names of people. And I said, you were made for such a time as this, because knowing someone's name, it just means a lot. It's, you know, Jesus says, I know you by name. That you're not a statistic. You're not just an accident of birth. I'm Kevin. It's Kevin. It's Dudley. Each one of you are known singularly. And another thing I want to say before we go to communion is that the breaking of bread, Peter, that was an amazing testimony for you guys to get up and just say you were cooked. And then to see God's hand in your marriage and the position you've taken, that's why we're in business. That's why I do what I do. That's why we live for what we live, is to see marriages redeemed, to see healing, however God does it. Sue, your cancer was inoperable. Did you know that? It was inoperable. The only thing 99.9% of the doctors said to her is it's a matter of time. But there's nothing. You can try this, take the vitamins, do all the routines, and then God picks that 0.1%, and that one surgeon was the man, because he knows you by name. You're not just another person with cancer. And this is the God that we serve, isn't He marvelous? In the cross, the convicted sinner can behold the provision for all his guilt and all his need, that we are set free from judgment. Judgment is removed from us in the cross. Our sin is put away. He is our substitute, our ransom. He is the perfect sacrifice. The most fragrant fruit, or the most beautiful flowers and aroma, the greatest men's cologne,
or women's perfume cannot create an aroma to cover our sin. As I told Dudley, or she told me, I said to her, I've said this before, but I said, if I didn't marry you, do you think I'd be a caveman? And she didn't even hesitate. She said, absolutely. Because I like marine showers. You know what marine showers are? You've been working out, or you're all sweaty, and just throw some cologne on top of it and move. Well, that's what we do with our sin. With our sin, we try to fragrance, make us look good, or do something nice, or try to do the dance to create something. But the only thing that deals with our sin is the sin bearer himself, and is the cross. And so it's important that to remember that you and I are justified this morning by his blood. We are justified, just as if I had not sinned. We are justified this morning, and that faith, we are saved by grace, unmerited favor, through faith, substance of things hoped for, evidence of things not seen. And there's no sentimentality or feelings or something that will bring forth the right kind of faith. The kind of faith that we heard this morning was faith that required absolute trust in God. And that's who we are. It's a privilege to walk together. It's a privilege that anybody cares about you at all. And anybody cares about me. We take these things for granted, but we do and we don't. We don't take it for granted, but it's important on mornings like this to reflect. And I also would say that this year, there were so many things happening. I made a list. It probably isn't the full list, but I was saying, I can't even keep up with the babies. Who knows all the babies that were born this year? Who can rattle them off? Anybody rattle them off in 10 seconds? I cannot do it. Somebody can. The nursery people, I know. I know they know. Who are you? I was born last week. And but we have, I think of my friend Dale Congelera that's not here, that was at the end of his rope, couldn't get work, tried everything, and he's got a great job right now, and God's blessing him. I think of the Congeliers, their daughter getting married, and I think of Katie and Bo getting married, and Beth and Noel getting married, and the Wands Stuart and Liz, and the Urbans who seen Catherine and Curtis married, and so many things. You know, you see your son-in-law come home from the war. I think of Brad. He and I have many sidebars of the culture wars that he's in, and how he's standing for the truth and trying to be wise as a serpent and harmless as a dove, but a man of conviction that's constantly coming up against the cutting edge of the culture. And, you know, I just think of all of that. I think of the businessmen that every day you guys have an opportunity to violate your integrity, or there's a shortcut, and standing true to the principles of God. So as we come to the table, Wilhelm, you'd help me here. And Tony, you can come up, please. Just keep standing, please. You feel well enough to stand? You want to say anything? You haven't said anything. You're fine. Okay. He's fine. That's what he said. He's fine. But the meal, you think of all the pomp and circumstance of life. And Jesus ate at he ate at some very expensive homes. He saw the temple in all its glory. But when he
left, there's only two pieces of furniture, if you will, or two utensils or objects. He left the cup and he left the table. And this simple table and this bread and this wine are his body and blood. And he said to the disciples that as often as we do this, to do it in memory of him. And the scripture says, when we do this, we're proclaiming his death, which is our life. And that's not a Malden, a sad, like, oh, it is fact that this reminds us who we are. And the scripture says to examine yourself, that don't just do this as a ritual, but examine your conscience and be aware that the little foxes that spoil the vine, the short fuse, any short-fused people out here? Anybody get their nose out of joint too quickly occasionally? I do. I really do. I don't like it. As you said yesterday, you need to change your attitude. Thank God for our wives, right? You know what? My whole life's been, you need to change your attitude. And my kids would say that. One time Erin says, I think, when she's a little girl, she Daddy, I think you need to change your attitude. And by his grace, I do. But I have to come back to the table. I have to come back, and I'm clean by his judgment. All of us that are believers here are clean once and for all and redeemed. But our feet get dirty, and so we come back, and he washes us again. So, Bill, take the bread and break it for us. We're one body, many parts. Man, did you see how he did that? That's like a miracle. Look at that. You're good. I don't know. I'm not going to give you the cup. I don't know what you would do. And I believe they were laughing at the Last Supper as well as serious. I believe Jesus laughed. I believe they loved being with him. And when they traveled, it was good. When they went on the boat trips and, you know, hikes and then in the most difficult things. And that's the God that we serve. So one body, one loaf. Would you stand? And if the men would begin to pass out the elements. And you can hand out the cup too. I'm going to pray over the cup, but let's wait and we'll share together. If you've been served now, I'd like to pray. And Lord, we are one body because you are one God, one Father, over all, through all, and in all. We come before you, Lord, and first of all, we thank you for what we heard this morning, Lord, and we do see how you work. Lord, sometimes it's in retrospect. Sometimes it's in the moment, but you're at work, both to will and to work for your good pleasure. Lord, we confess to you this morning that you're the potter and we're the clay, that you mold and shape, and that the clay is not supposed to say to the potter, what are you doing? Because you know what is best. We trust you and we love you. We ask you, Lord, to wash us, cleanse us, Lord, from the little foxes that spoil the vine, the smallness of spirit that we tend to drift towards, or self-absorbed, whatever it could be, Lord. Just we know that you are working in us in all things, and we thank you for that. And so as we eat, Lord, we eat as one body. So let's eat. If you'd like to, you could look around the room. You're going to see him in heaven. And let's drink. And as you drink, realize that your sins are removed by the Lord Jesus as far as the east is from the west. And if you came in today with a heavy heart, or you came in with something on your plate or whatever, or if you came in and there's somebody or something you won't forgive or can't, ask for God's grace and drink the cup of forgiveness in his blood. Amen. Bill, would you help him with this?